Welcome back to Issues Etc. Here in the second hour, we're going to spend a few minutes with Father Donald Armstrong. CNN has the headline, Congregation to Split from Episcopal Church. It's, in fact, Colorado's largest Episcopal congregation, and they have at least voted to leave the Episcopal Church USA. Father Donald Armstrong is rector of Grace Episcopal Church in St. Stephen's Parish in Colorado Springs. Father Armstrong, welcome to Issues Etc.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Well, the news report says that your congregation's leaders voted to leave the Episcopal Church USA, but Bishop Robert O'Neill there in Colorado says that the parish is still part of the Episcopal Church. I quote, "The fact is people may leave the Episcopal Church, but parishes cannot." So what's actually happened?
Well, this is what's going on in the Episcopal Church. The membership for years has been drifting away from the Episcopal Church, and the leadership, which is totally out of touch with the membership, doesn't actually see souls, human souls, as the conversion of people as their goal. They see maintaining historic buildings as their goal. So they really don't care about the spiritual health of a congregation. They don't care that the members have rejected their false teaching, but they do understand themselves to be the owners of the property. And so I've got a congregation of 2,500 people who have solidly rejected the bishop's own teaching. And he says, we can leave, but he really wants the building. It seems to me that he's got his priorities mixed up. We're not as interested in the building as we are the souls of our parishioners.
It makes me wonder if the various dioceses, and I know this isn't uniform across the Episcopal Church USA, but where it is true, where the diocese does hold deed on the property of local congregations, if the diocese didn't own the properties, how many parishes might have left instead of stayed?
Well, I think there's a bigger reason than that. I mean, I think if enough parishes left, the church would be swamped with property issues. Our own property, our budget as a parish is larger than the diocese budget. So he can't operate this without the people who are here supporting it. Interestingly enough, the big case, both in the United States and particularly in Colorado, is the Mott case, which involves St. Mary's Church in Denver, which refused to use the new prayer book in the late 70s. And so the bishop sued them. The bishop won the property. The property is now a gay bar. So the Episcopal Church's stance that they hold these buildings in trust for future generations and cannot let individual worshiping congregations take them away and use them for godly purposes, but that they'll protect them, and then they turn into gay bars, really does tell you all you need to know. I think one of the problems in the Episcopal Church is with the ordination of women. We've become really quite a feminized denomination. And so we've got weak men and middle-aged women running congregations, and they're sort of in a survival mode. I know in this diocese, most of the clergy lack the real strength to stand up to the bishop. They let things go by. They don't ask appropriate questions. And the bishop, who is somewhat of a tyrant, scares them all into line. They've got marginal congregations. Over the half the congregations in Colorado are in some sort of decline and financial crises. There's only a couple congregations, my own among them, that are financially viable. So the Episcopal Church is in real decline at the moment, and it's only going to get worse now that they've rejected the teaching of the primates.
We talk a lot with reform groups within various mainline denominations, including the Episcopal Church USA. And I don't know if I've ever asked any of the representatives the question, which is, did anyone see this coming?
Well, we've been forecasting it for 30 years. People have been arguing, conservatives in the church have been arguing these points for 30 years, but slowly the conservatives have been pushed out of the church.
What was the last straw for your congregation?
I think it was the statement by the House of Bishops last week saying that they were rejecting the proposal of the primates of the communion to set up a system whereby conservatives could have some protection from the tyranny of totalitarian bishops, and that they would hear none of it, and that they didn't plan to follow the teaching of the church, that they were just fine without the whole communion. And for the Anglican Church, for the Roman Catholic Church, and for Orthodoxy, the idea of Catholicity, the universal nature of our church, that we're a 77 million member church that's worldwide, that is that whole body, the Spirit working through that whole body interpreting Scripture, is how we understand God to have some input into what we do with His Word. And when a mere 2 million members said, well, we disagree with the rest, well, the rest would give you pause that maybe you've got the wrong word. And the American church is splitting off from that rest of the communion. And we're not willing to do that. We believe absolutely in the necessity of being part of a larger body through which the Spirit works.
So you are not voting on Monday to leave Anglicanism, but in fact to leave the Episcopal Church USA and remain with Anglicanism.
Yes, by moving into the Convocation of Anglicans in North America, what we're able to do is then stay connected to the worldwide body through the church in Nigeria and be part of the Anglican Communion, or recognized part of the Anglican Communion. And so as the Episcopal Church walks away from the Communion, we've squarely planted ourselves back with the Communion and not with them. And the primates of the communion, of the 38 provinces of the communion, actually gave us this as a way to stay in the communion.
Well, this was a solution provided by the Anglican communion itself.
Yes.
How did the vote divide in the congregation? Do you remember what the totals were?
Well, we've only the vestry has voted so far. 10 members, 9 of them voted to leave. The other person is in the midst of treatment, and I haven't seen him to know how he would vote on this. The congregation will vote on May the 5th.
And how do you expect that to go?
I expect it to go really strongly to do this. And by saying that, I think what I mean is that the congregation will affirm the vestry's vote and will agree to stay here and in the property, go through the legal process to keep the property, and continue on as a viable Anglican church.
And beyond his apparent rejection of the church's initial move here with the vestry vote, what do you expect Bishop Robert O'Neill to do next?
I have no idea. He's a very unpredictable personality.
It sounds as though Catherine Jefferts Schori, at least in recent statements, the presiding bishop of the Episcopal Church USA, has said she's going to stand behind bishops who want to enforce at least parish properties, staying under the auspices of the Episcopal Church USA.
And what's so wonderful about that, so interesting about that, is these are the very people who reject the authority of the rest of the communion, but then insist on enforcing their own authority. They're the very people who snub their nose at the clear edicts of Holy Scripture, but then take canon law and run it literally, with no pastoral concern or care. It's very interesting how they're so interested in property and maintaining the law, but it's the law of the land, and they don't love the law of the Lord at all. They reject the law of the Lord. So one of the reasons that we've left the Episcopal Church is that we don't feel it's good for our own souls or the souls of our children to be under that kind of leadership or influence.
What kind of communications have you had from Archbishop Peter Akinola?
I know Peter Akinola, and we've had dinner together a couple times just this year. Mostly my dealing with CANA is the Convocation of Anglicans in North America, and Martin Minns and David Benna are both bishops in that. Martin Minns is the head of CANA, and I've been in daily contact with Bishop Minns.
So I find it interesting although it's treated in the news as only a minor thing, that this is called a missionary diocese of the Nigerian Anglican Communion here in America.
Yes, and it started out simply to take care of the number of Nigerian churches, Anglican churches, that had sprung up in large cities where there were viable Nigerian congregations. And what Peter Akinola wanted to do is give them some sort of episcopal oversight in the United States. And then soon after that, others started joining these vibrant, God-loving and fearing congregations. And then others wanted to join in different cities the whole organization that was clear about its moral character and about the work of discipleship, not about the work of arguing about human sexuality and who owns the building.
Have you seen any evidence of the officialdom of the Episcopal Church USA to interfere with the bishops who are from the Anglican Communion, who are extending their care and their protection to parishes such as yours?
Well, they don't like it. They'll reject it. They'll try to run us out of our buildings, but ultimately we're not under their authority, so they won't be able to do anything about it. And the state certainly won't get involved in some kind of interfaith dispute like this.
So in other words, you're fairly confident that the courts will choose not to involve themselves in a property dispute between the parishes there in Colorado Springs and the diocese?
Oh, no, I think that they will involve themselves in property disputes. Those are long and drawn-out disputes. The last time I took a property course, law course, was in 1967, my freshman year in college, so I have no idea where that will go and how it'll get there, but we've got a committee of the vestry that is dealing with that.
So what's next for Grace Episcopal Church in Stevens Parish?
Back to work, back to ministry. No longer having to fight with our diocese. We'll have fights. We'll send those off to committees of people who are experts in dealing with various issues. They'll deal with that, but we're going to get back to worshiping the Lord, reading His Word, educating our children, doing outreach around the world to both help people and bring them God's Word. That's our job.
Finally, on the issue of money,
yes.
Since the Episcopal Church USA seems to be able to exercise the little clout that it does have in the Anglican Communion because it is the richest, not the most sizable province in the Anglican Communion, you can't lose too many 2,500-member congregations before that money starts to dry up, and while you may still be the richest, you may not be able to pay your own bills.
Well, that's right. I mean, I think that's where they are. I mean, the National Church has a $3.5 million deficit for this year. The Diocese of Colorado has a $75,000 deficit this year. I think that as conservatives leave, and you know, conservative people who take their Bible seriously always give far more than those who are social liberals who actually don't give much at all.
Father Donald Armstrong is rector of Grace Episcopal Church in St. Stephen's Parish in Colorado Springs. They had a vestry vote Monday to leave the Episcopal Church USA. Father Armstrong, thank you for being our guest, and Godspeed to you and your congregation.
Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
You got to wonder whether if Fred Thompson decides to run for president, that won't be his campaign theme. He is, of course, the DA of law and order fame, a very good one, by the way, at least in terms of his acting. But he's also a former U.S. senator. The news is that he's not only thinking about running for president, but if he does, he might have a little bit of polling power already, a little bit of momentum on that. He is pro-life. He says he is opposed to gay marriage. I think he's expressed specific support for the marriage amendment, the constitutional amendment at the federal level. And no one can argue with the fact that this guy is a very gifted communicator. And as far as we can tell, kind of a dedicated conservative, at least from his public service. I want your reaction, and I want to hear from you on a Fred Thompson candidacy. Is he on your radar? I mean, a lot of people are on the public's radar right now, and even though the field is for the presidential run in 2008 is huge already, there are still people coming in off the edge of the radar screen. Is he on yours, Fred Thompson? Are you enthusiastic, unenthusiastic, or have a wait-and-see attitude about Senator Fred Thompson and his prospective run for the presidency in 2008? Our call-in numbers are 505-7850 or 1-800-730-2727. We're coming to you live this Wednesday, the 28th of March, and our in-studio email address, issuesetc@kfuo.org. A lot of people had been speculating, but here's the CNN story on Fred Thompson's rise in the polls among GOP presidential hopefuls.
That'll get the DOJ's attention every time.
As Fred Thompson, the man who plays a prosecutor on TV's Law & Order, made his case for a presidential run. Roughly 2 weeks ago, the former senator and current actor said he's considering a run for president. Since then, Thompson has skyrocketed out of nowhere to rank third among GOP White House hopefuls in a new poll. He's even surpassed former Massachusetts Governor Mitt Romney. And Thompson hasn't yet formally announced.
One way to read these numbers is that there's a lot of Republicans that are still shopping around for a candidate.
Why are Republicans shopping around? Republican strategist David Winston, who's not affiliated with any campaigns, says a key title has eluded candidates Rudy Giuliani, John McCain, and Mitt Romney.
What has not occurred is someone has not grabbed a sort of conservative mantelpiece. The person who's identified as the lead conservative candidate, and that's been sort of bouncing around, and a lot of the candidates have been sort of jockeying for that with no one succeeding.
Why hasn't a single candidate pulled ahead with conservatives? Strategists say McCain hasn't gained overall momentum, Giuliani supports abortion and gay rights, and although Romney is now viewed as a conservative, that wasn't always the case.
The one thing that this poll would certainly suggest is Fred Thompson getting in the race, the candidacy that gets hit the hardest will be Romney.
Many now see an opening for Fred Thompson among Republicans. Thompson calls himself pro-life and opposes same-sex marriage.
Thompson hasn't said when he'll make a decision about whether or not he's running, but he has said he wants to see how other Republican candidates do before jumping in. Mary Snow, CNN, New York.
So what do you think about a Fred Thompson candidacy? I mean, here's a guy with some name recognition, obviously face recognition. He's not been on Law & Order. He's been on television as a character actor for a long time. He's made some pretty decent movies, too, as a character actor. And he served in the U.S. Senate. And he's thinking about running for president in 2008. If you're one of those that they're talking about there who's still shopping around for a candidate, you know, you might have Giuliani and McCain in your cart, but you don't know if you're going to buy yet. You're pulling them off the shelf, taking a look, taking them for a test drive. The top two are Giuliani and McCain, and even before he's officially announced, Fred Thompson now ranks third and has knocked Mitt Romney down to fourth. Now, Mitt Romney proved himself pretty capable of raising money early on, and this is very early on. McCain's been having some money troubles. What do you think about Fred Thompson? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Where would he be on your list of presidential hopefuls? issuesetc@kfuo.org. Since here's a big one, perhaps throwing his hat into the ring, let's talk about it during audio open lines here on Issues Etc. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727, or issuesetc@kfuo.org, starting with Diana, who calls from her car. Hi, Diana.
Hi. I'm very enthusiastic about Fred Thompson and I've gotten onto a website that's to draft Fred Thompson and signed up on that, and I would really like to see him run.
What do you like about him?
I like the fact that he's pro-life. I like the fact that he's against gay marriage. I like listening to him speak about politics. He's very knowledgeable. And I do think he has the name recognition because of being an actor. So I think he would be a good candidate.
Diana, how do you compare him? What do you like better about him than the other front runners at this point, Giuliani, McCain, Romney?
I don't feel that any of them are, well, Romney claims to be pro-life, but he hasn't always been. And I don't really feel any of them are pro-life. and I don't feel that any of them are really, they all seem to be pretty moderate.
All right, Diana, thank you very much. What about the rest of you? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. In Crestwood, here's Josh. Hi, Josh.
Thanks for taking my call, Todd.
Sure.
I could not be more enthusiastic about a Fred Thompson candidacy. I think the thing that distinguishes him from the rest of the pack is being able to articulate ideas, especially when you compare how President Bush has been. Now, I affiliate with conservatives, and while I agree with President Bush on a lot of things, he hasn't done a great job of articulating his positions and getting his point across. And if we had a conservative president who could clearly and concisely state conservative positions, I think that would be outstanding.
So even compared with the current president, Josh, you find in someone like Fred Thompson a more articulate
right.
articulate candidate for president.
And not necessarily articulate like in an academic sense, but he makes the complex understandable. Like if you saw his interview on Fox News Sunday a few weeks back, you knew exactly where he stood after just hearing a couple sentences on an issue.
All right. Thank you very much, Josh. Well, I mean, talking about him being able to articulate, at least communicate clearly. Now, let's just talk about pure communication skills. He recently filled in for Paul Harvey, who in radio is something of an enigma and a legend. One of the longest-running broadcasters in radio, who is known for his own very engaging style of communication. So Fred Thompson sits in for Paul Harvey on his radio program, and everyone is talking about it. And here's a guy who this isn't that hard to do. It's not rocket science. But being able to make engaging radio after you just sitting down at Paul Harvey's microphone, that says something. Let's see what Chuck has to say, calling from his car. Hi, Chuck.
Hi, Todd. I'm a big Fred Thompson supporter also.
And why is that?
Well, it just seems to me that almost every one of the other candidates is like a fish on a riverbank. They're just flopping around from here to there and trying to please everybody rather than taking a position on issues and putting forth their honest opinions on them. They're all a bunch of hot air salesmen.
All right, Chuck. Thank you very much. Well, look, you got Giuliani, who's very, you can't accuse Giuliani of flip-flopping, because he's held his views, even if you find them repugnant, he's held his views pretty firmly. He's trying to make them sound as palatable to conservative voters as he possibly can. Mitt Romney, yes, he's gone back and forth on at least the life issue, and McCain has wavered a little on the life issue, too. So far, we've got three callers excited about, they sound very excited about Fred Thompson's possible run for the White House. What about you? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. You can email us as we come to you live this Wednesday. It's the 28th of March. Issues ETC at KFUO.org. Your phone calls, your email on this issue, the Fred Thompson possible run for president in 2008. After the break, 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727, or email us issuesetc@kfuo.org.
Contending for truth in an age of anti-truth. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Dr. Dean Winthy, president of Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, on why a man should consider studying for the pastoral ministry.
It's the most beautiful and wonderful calling to expound the goodness and the grace of God in Christ and to spread the good news of Christ's victory over death. You're carrying eternal good news and the life of Christ through His Word, His sacraments, and we welcome any who want to consider the ministry to visit our faculty in action, our worship, because you'll see there the word of a loving and present God who has bestowed all things in Christ.
For more information about Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, call them toll-free 1-800-481-2155 or visit our website, issuesetc.org.
This is Family News in Focus. I'm Bob Dittmer. Democrats have their hands on the nation's purse strings for the first time in more than 10 years and are losing no time in reestablishing their spendthrift ways. They're proposing balancing the budget by 2012 with the largest tax increase in history. Steve Jordahl reports some estimate the average family could see more than a doubling of their tax burden.
According to figures published by House Republican leader Mitch McConnell, taxes would skyrocket by $900 billion under the budget proposal now before the Senate. It works by eliminating the president's tax cuts. Annie Patnod of Americans for Prosperity says among the taxes that you would be paying again under the Democrats' plan, a cut in the child tax credit to the tune of $27 billion and a marriage penalty.
Marriage penalty tax relief has provided over $13 billion in relief to married couples.
Chris Kanan of FreedomWorks says the dollars you give to Congress would be taken from the supply you used to put into the economy.
From sort of the national picture, the economy is doing pretty well, and part of the reason is simply because of the Bush tax cuts.
The economy is likely to suffer under the Democratic proposal. Andrew Roth of the Club for Growth says they just can't seem to resist spending your money.
They just want to raise taxes in order to finance their big spending programs.
He notes that big spending is partly why Republicans got kicked out of office last year. So what do these tax increases mean to your wallet?
You're going to see an average tax hike anywhere between $2,000 to $4,000 per taxpayer.
Neither the Democratic leaders of the House nor Senate returned our calls for comment. For Family News in Focus, I'm Steve Jordahl.
While the Democrats' proposal would increase funding at the federal government's disposal, nothing in the plan addresses a looming shortfall to entitlement programs like welfare and Social Security. For Family News in Focus, I'm Bob Dittmer.
The Christ-centered programs you hear every day on AM 850 KFUO are made possible by the generous giving of friends like Keith Kirchhoff of Collinsville, Illinois, Kurt Brinkmeyer of Florissant, and Maplewood Bicycle of St. Louis. Thank you. Your faithful support of AM 850 KFUO ensures the future of our radio outreach.
Issues Etc. is underwritten in part by Concordia Publishing House, publishers of our Book of the Month for March, Easter Is For Me. For more information, look for the Easter Is For Me cover on our homepage, issuesetc.org, or call Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040. Easter Is For Me by Dandy Daly Mackle. It's a helpful resource to help teach young children about the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Easter Is For Me.
All right, we're talking about Fred Thompson's possible run for the presidency in 2008 during Audio Open Lines Issues, Etc. this Wednesday. He played a district attorney on Law and Order, still does play the district attorney. I'm not sure about that, but of course, I don't watch Law and Order anymore because I help with the homework, so I get to miss one of my favorite shows. However, he's also been a U.S. senator. He has been a lobbyist. He has been just about everything you can possibly be, as well as a television and movie actor. Fred Thompson, what do you think about him? He's undeniably conservative in his politics. He's pro-life, against gay marriage, and he's thinking about running for the presidency. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. We've had three calls. All three of them said excited. Some of them said very excited. Are you intrigued by a Thompson run in 2008? Our in-studio email address, issuesetc@kfuo.org. We don't have a very political audience. I know that because we've talked politics on Issues, Etc. for many years now. And generally speaking, more quiet reaction to these things. It's odd that we would get three quick phone calls from people. It might just be a coincidence, but it's odd that we would get three quick phone calls in answering a question like this. We've asked this question about Mitt Romney, about many others. I want your thoughts. What about, if he does appeal to you, I want to hear from you. If he doesn't, that's fine too. In either case, What about him appeals or doesn't appeal to you as a voter? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Let's see what Arthur and Jennings has to say. Hi, Arthur.
Good afternoon. Hello.
Hey.
Fred Thompson. He sounds good, but I'd want to know a lot more about him. Certainly he sounds better than McCain or Romney and Giuliani. But at this point, Ron Paul or Tom Tancredo's ain't got the top spot for me. But the news media seems to be censoring him out. Evidently, the news media doesn't like him, and so they're not giving him much publicity. Certainly not like Barack Obama over there in Illinois.
All right. What about Ron Paul or Tancredo? Why do you like those candidates at this point?
Well, they think that the president should abide by his oath of office and enforce the law. And we got 10, 12 law-breaking illegal immigrants here, and the president wants to give them citizenship. If he's going to give amnesty to lawbreakers, he should start with American citizens and free all the American people that are citizens that are in prison right now. How come he gives amnesty to foreigners, not to American citizens?
All right, Arthur, that's his thought, although he finds Fred Thompson somewhat intriguing. He's got others who he likes better. What about the rest of you? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. It's Wednesday, March the 28th. Our in-studio email address, issuesetc@kfuo.org. I would point out again that Fred Thompson is already third in the poll, the national polls, on who people want, at least who Republican voters want as the president. And he hasn't even announced yet. Mitt Romney was the first to announce, and Thompson knocked him off into fourth.
You know, the comparisons will be made because of the acting career to Ronald Reagan.
Absolutely. Well, and also to the communication skills.
And that's what people are looking for. They're looking for who's the
second coming of Ronald
exactly.
Reagan. Yeah, that's true. Look, that's no secret. I don't think that's just my private opinion. I think even all you got to do is watch the news and listen to the political talkers, and they'll tell you what the voters are looking for is someone who can take Ronald Reagan's mantle. So for you, is it Fred Thompson? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Up in Milwaukee, here's Josh. Hi, Josh.
Yes. Hello, Todd.
Hello.
Hi. I just want to chime in on this here. Fred Thompson, I'll be honest, I don't know anything about the man. But when I compare him, I guess, to the other three candidates, when we think about John McCain, I just think Bob Dole the second. I really do. I just think, you know, he's an older gentleman. I don't think he's going to make it. The process, Giuliani is more the country club kind of Republican. We know where he stands. And Mr. Romney, well, he's kind of a flip-flopper. And I think the last time there was a accomplished actor in the White House, he did pretty well for himself. And I have to also just add also that after President Bush not being the most articulate guy in the world, I think we could use a man like Fred Thompson in the White House.
All right. Josh has a list of things that appeals about Fred Thompson, even though Josh says he doesn't know much about him yet. If he's running for president, it sounds as though he's already got a bit of a fan club. I mean, not just because he's an actor, but because people might want to see him sitting in the White House. Do you? Or are you more cautious for any reason? Do we have any Fred Thompson retractors? Detractors? Retractors? Which is it? Detractors? In the audience, 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Paul in High Ridge, welcome.
Hi, Todd. Hope you're having a good day. Regarding Fred Thompson, it's not just a question of being articulate. He approaches subjects with reason and logic. Pardon me. And he became an actor by accident. I don't watch Law and Order. But I've seen how the man approaches issues. He's a conservative who believes in the power of ideas, not a Hillary who believes just in power. I have never been one to contribute to political organizations or movements, but I'll give $100 to Fred Thompson.
All right, Paul, thank you very much. Well, that says a lot. You know, if you're a political advisor out there listening to the radio and you hear someone says, I've never given money to political parties or to candidates, but I'm going to give $100 to candidate X, that makes your ears perk up. It really does. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. So far, with the exception of Arthur, who called a little earlier, who just needs to know more about Fred Thompson before he throws his hat into the ring and still prefers his two other candidates, who don't appear on the polls because they're Tancredo and Ron Paul, I think, are polling at statistically insignificant levels, which makes one wonder about whether they're electable. Fred Thompson's already third, and he hasn't announced.
Is this the broad section of the issues, et cetera, audience?
I don't know.
Looks like a pro-Fred Thompson crowd.
You know, think about it, Jeff. We're in the middle hour, so we're in that overlap hour between people picking up the kids from school and then people driving home from work. And so we're hitting the broadest swath of our audience, probably. Not the greatest, but the cross-section. An audience that does not... We're having a little inside conversation here. An audience that does not generally respond to our political questions and queries. Would you agree?
Yes. It depends. Yes. They're very fickle.
Well, but when it comes down to candidates and things like that...
Right.
Unless I mention the name Hillary Clinton, generally the phones are not lighting up, right?
Right.
Okay, so... We provide our listeners with information that they need politically from generally as it impacts issues of life and the homosexual issue and things like that. But we've remarked many times that we probably have the most apolitical audience in Christian radio, right?
Right.
And I don't understand the phones ringing. So maybe Fred Thompson does.
Here's a question. If we could schedule one candidate as a guest on the show, who would you want it to be?
Okay, that's a great question. Let's do it. If we could schedule one candidate, and this would be a great time to do it because it's so early that these candidates have not yet decided that they're too big for local radio or too big for small market radio or whatever it is. This is medium market radio. If we could schedule one potential presidential candidate for an interview, who would it be, and would Fred Thompson be at the top of your list? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Our in-studio email address, issuesetc@kfuo.org. Up next, Randy's calling from his car. Hi, Randy.
Hello, Todd. How are you today?
I'm doing well.
Good. I am a Missouri Synod Lutheran, and I am not Republican. But that your topic today has really intrigued me. If I was going to vote Republican... I am a veteran, an armed forces veteran, and I know that John McCain was a prisoner of war.
Yes.
And the things that he went through, he would be my choice. But that's just because I'm a veteran.
So you have an affinity for a guy like McCain because McCain is a decorated war hero and a former POW.
I would tend to believe him more than I'm going to say like actors and that because in the topic of politics, you know, candidates, no matter what they are, they're going to tell people what they want to hear so that they can get elected. So it's awful hard to believe anybody from any party because a lot of times you put them all together and throw them in a bag and roll them out, they're the same.
Hey, Randy, before I let you go, would you call yourself a Reagan Democrat?
Well, I don't know. That's I have voted both ways in both parties, so, you know, I just consider myself, I guess, just somebody to vote.
All right, Randy, thank you very much. Good. I'm very, very glad to hear from Randy. Let's see what Sam has to say, calling from his car. Hi, Sam.
Hi. As a Missouri Synod Lutheran, I have a hard time looking at an election when all of the choices, the candidates, have positions that are antithetical to Christianity, whether it be homosexuality, abortion, any number of issues. And I think it's finally refreshing not to have try to make a choice of the lesser of two evils. And right now, Fred Thompson is looking awfully good.
So he's the one that for you, when you look at him, you say, ah, this is the guy I was waiting for to come along all the time?
Yeah. I looked at Rudy Giuliani, and I completely disagree with his, you know, while he might be honest, but his position on homosexuality, or and then with, like any Democratic candidate regarding abortion, almost. So it's just incredibly refreshing for me as a voter.
All right, Sam, thank you very much. You know, I was listening recently to Rudolph Giuliani in an interview. The guy is remarkably charming and an engaging person, Rudolph Giuliani. And I, as a very, I try to think of myself as a keen-minded voter, had to keep on mentally slapping myself in the face and reminding myself, Wilkin, this guy is pro-choice. This guy is in favor of gay marriage because it's easy to be charmed. It really is. Jane is calling from Arnold. Hi, Jane.
Hi, Todd. I like Rudy Giuliani, but I wouldn't vote for him. I think he's pleasant to hear. I wouldn't vote for McCain for anything because, like the one man said, they'll say anything, but he has a record, and we know what he's done with his record. But, yeah, Fred Thompson, and he's who I would like you to get on the show. I heard him on Laura Ingraham one day do a thing on our borders that was awesome. Really, really right on about how can we do anything else if we don't seal our own borders and, you know, take care of it. He was just so far. So I'm really glad to hear. I didn't know he was pro-life till today. That was something that would be important. So I'm glad to hear that.
Okay, if I had one question for him, Jane, if we could get him on the air, what would you want it to be?
I'm not smart enough to do that. You figure it out, and I'll like whatever you do.
I'll let Jeff figure it out. All right, thank you very much. Well, that's a good thing. Jane says, if we were able at this early date to get any prospective presidential candidate on the program for a short interview, and it would be very short, what questions should be asked? She wants Fred Thompson. What questions should we ask him?
You know, what's amazing is whether you like President Bush or agree with his politics, yay or nay, that in this media-savvy culture, he was able to be elected president because whether you like him or not, he doesn't think quickly on his feet. He doesn't articulate. Nobody would call him a great public speaker.
No, I don't think so.
And
he's had his moments.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Yeah. But, I mean, we we're not talking Clinton, Obama, or Ronald Reagan.
Oh, no.
Here.
No. We're not talking even his dad.
And you talk about sound bites. One thing, Fred Thompson, if you ever hear him, he can speak in sound bites. He's like Al Mohler on this show of Southern Baptist Theological Seminary.
Yeah. That's something that's, I think, either you're born with or you must learn in the school of hard knocks. Well, you're right. We have. What was it? They always criticized Reagan for being the first president who really understood what television could do for a president. Remember this? They always talked about him going over the heads of the media to talk to the American people. He had this ability to use the medium in an amazing way. And maybe voters are longing for that, too, after what will be 8 years of a president who, seems to be a very decent, honest man, has a hard time sometimes putting a sentence together. Yeah, they want the great communicator. Is that you wanting the great communicator? Or another one? 505-780-2727. Fred Thompson's thinking of running. He's a television and screen actor, former senator. He has been in and out of Washington many times. He has the political, at least politically, he has the conservative credentials. He's pro-life, and he is against gay marriage. He hasn't announced, though, and yet he's polling as third among the GOP hopefuls. Our in-studio email address, issuesetc@kfuo.org. Here's Bill in Overland. Hi, Bill.
Hi. I haven't seen any episodes of Law and Order, but I'd like for you to have Fred Thompson on your station.
What question do you think we should ask him, Bill?
I'm not sure. It's either about the UN or the ACLU and how they're after Christianity.
Okay, so your concern is about a hostile environment for Christianity?
Oh, one of many.
Why would you choose Thompson, per se, to be a guest on the show?
Well, I'm like the other people. I'm excited because I think there are shades of Ronald Reagan. He's filling in for Paul Harvey right now and doing a great job. And he's pro-life and he's pro-gun. And I don't know where he is on taxes.
No, I don't know either, but I have a feeling. Didn't he come in shortly after the 1994 sweep of Congress, and chances are he might have been riding that wave, but I don't know his view on taxes either. Let's see what Cynthia has to say in St. Louis. Thanks for waiting, Cynthia.
Hi. I like Fred Thompson. The only caveat that I might have is I'd like to know if he's had any administrative experience. It tends to be in politics that people that are from the Senate don't tend to win presidential elections.
You're right.
Giuliani has advantage, and so does Romney, in that they both have, one's been a mayor, one's been a governor. So they've got some pluses in their column, but they also have a lot of negatives, too. So it would be nice to know if Mr. Thompson has the administrative abilities. Also, I'd like to know how, besides the social issues, which we kind of already have an idea about how he feels about those, I would like to know how he feels about economic policy. Is he a tax cut kind of guy? And also, I think probably the most important issue that's kind of the elephant in the room is, how does he feel about national defense, the war on terror in particular? I think a lot of people right now are kind of in Giuliani's camp because they kind of perceive him as a strong leader in that regard. So if he could give Giuliani a good run for his money, I think, you know, he'd be a viable candidate.
All right, Cynthia, thank you very much. Now, as far as administrative, count it for what you will. He's been a U.S. senator. He's been, I think, served as an assistant U.S. attorney. This was back in the late 60s and the 70s. He was on the Senate Watergate Committee in its investigation of the Watergate scandal then. He's served several as in organizing campaigns like Howard Baker, things like that. And so now running the White House is a lot more than running a campaign, but he does have some experience there. You will judge that at whatever level you deem necessary. What about the rest of you? What are your top concerns now that you've got somebody like Fred Thompson, who, at least according to the polls, seems to be what many have been waiting for? A guy walks in, hasn't even announced any third. You take from that, perhaps this is what at least Republican voters, conservative voters in general, have been waiting for. Have you been waiting for Fred Thompson? 505-7850-1-800-730-2727. DB is waiting in his car. Hi, DB.
Hey, Todd. I want to chime in on the question you asked about what one question should you ask if you have him, or I would say any presidential candidate on your show who claims to be pro-life. My question would be, are you willing to sacrifice your political career and chance of re-election or re-election by upholding or standing for your pro-life position? Because so many candidates claim to be pro-life and are willing to compromise on an issue that I just feel you can't compromise on. These are human lives that we're sacrificing. It's not taxes. It's not even the gay marriage issue, which I'm obviously not for that. But when it comes to human life, whether someone lives or dies, I don't think we can be compromisers. And I would like to hear someone say, yes, I would be willing to sacrifice my career for that principle.
All right, DB, thank you very much. Let's put that one down if by some sort of snowball's chance Fred Thompson ever is a guest on the program, because it's a good question. I have often said that in terms of a person's theology, you know where your pastor stands theologically, not so much by what he's willing to affirm. You want him to affirm all the right things. But affirming all the right things is just half the story. You know most about a person's theology by what they're willing to go to the mat for. What are they willing to, on what hill are they willing to die? That tells you more about a person's theology than what they simply affirm in theory. And I think probably the same rule might work in terms of politics, or as in DB's case, he's asking, look, there are lots of issues I care about, but the one that I want my candidate to be willing to go to the mat for is the unborn. Good question, DB. Thanks. Mary calls from Collinsville. Hi, Mary.
Hi. I had a comment on Fred Thompson, too. I really like what I've heard in the past several weeks. I was on a website, a blog, and it stated that Fred Thompson is pro-life, but he does not think we should overturn Roe v. Wade. So my question for him would be, why not, and how he would hope to better, you know, the pro-life issue without overturning Roe v. Wade.
All right, that's a great question, Mary. If someone says, I'm pro-life, but I don't think we should overturn Roe v. Wade, why not? Simple question. I'm trying to think of why someone might say they don't want to overturn Roe v. Wade. Maybe they think we can arrive there by a different means. I mean, sooner or later, at the end of the day, you got to deal with Roe v. Wade one way or the other. All right, we've got a few minutes left here. What about the rest of you? Anyone else want to chime in on a possible Fred Thompson run for the presidency? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727, or email us at issuesetc@kfuo.org. Tomorrow on the program, we're going to continue our series with Dr. Stephen Hine on man's failed attempts to reach God. Dr. Hine's going to talk to us about mysticism. This has to do with experience, emotion. Some might even say those spiritual experiences that are only accessible to the most spiritual among us. We'll also continue our series on teaching a Sunday school lesson with Deaconess Pam Nielsen. Tomorrow's lesson will be the Lord's Supper. That's all tomorrow on Issues, Etc. Our book of the month for March is called Easter is for Me. It's a children's book. We like to feature a children's book or two in every year's Issues, Etc. books of the month. And Easter is a great time to do it. This book is by Dandy Daly Mackle. It's set in rhyme and verse for very young children. Beautifully illustrated. You can find out more by going to our website, issuesetc.org, or you can call Concordia Publishing House and ask them about Easter is for Me. 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. Let's take a quick call before we go to our break. Adam is calling from his car. Hi, Adam.
Hi, Pastor Wilkin. How are you today?
I'm doing well.
Good. You know, one of the things that I think often gets missed in this entire conversation is how politicians view the economy in regards to its function. Is the economy simply a means to an end, or is it actually supposed to encapsulate something that we believe about what it means to be American? And I guess what I would like to know, not just from Fred Thompson, but anyone you would have on the show if you could, is the economy just a means to an end? Do we believe in free enterprise just because we think free enterprise is what makes America great? Or do we believe in free enterprise because it leads us to closer-knit communities, having strengthened families? And so I guess I just want to know, what is it that most politicians actually believe our economic system is supposed to do and how it should provide or play into our bigger understanding of what America is?
All right, Adam, that's an insightful, a very insightful question, and might even have a little something to do with scriptural teaching on vocation, because most of us encounter our vocations as part of the greater issue of the lesser issue of the economy. Am I here merely to draw a paycheck, put it in the bank, and leave it to my kids? Or does the livelihood that God provides for me, one of my vocations, have a greater purpose than simply serving myself? By the way, Friday on the program, we'll be talking about vocation with Dr. Stephen Hine. More audio open lines after this.
Equipping the priesthood of all believers. You're listening to Issues, Etc.